You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Welcome back, everybody, and into hour number two on Cleveland Browns Daily on this Monday, June 29th. Jim Donovan in today, along with Jason Gibbs. Nathan Zagura off today, as is Matt Wilhelm. Nathan's back tomorrow. He'll be paired up with Jason tomorrow, and they'll take you through the rest of the week as we carry you through to the 4th of July and getting closer to the start of training camp. Now, we got a lot of calls to get to, 216-578-0850. Jason and I were just talking during the break because we were talking about Terrell Pryor and how he's had to make this position change, and realizing that his route to stay in the NFL is to now try at a wide receiver rather than quarterback. Now, in the old days, quarterbacks like that, like Terrell Pryor and like some others, would go to Canada to play. They would go up to the CFL. Joe Theismann did it. Warren Moon did it. There was a very successful guy that played for the Winnipeg Blue Bombers. Dieter Brock, I think was his name, that came back down into the NFL and was a big signing by the St. Louis Rams, or they may have been, I think they were the LA Rams at that point. Quarterbacks don't do that now. They don't go up there with the hope of coming down here, or at least successfully they don't do it.
Yeah, no.
Guys change positions now.
And you just, again, it goes back to with the NFL, you know, should there be a developmental league?
Yes, should there should. Yes,
should there
should.
Be that lower
I think that
tier?
I think that NFL Europe thing was good. And if you go through biographies of players as you get ready for a game on Sunday, you know, and you're not seeing it now because the league's been gone for a while. But there was a time where you would say, oh, he played for the Rhein Fire. He played for the team over in Scotland. He played, you know, for the team in Hamburg. I mean, Sam Rattigliano coached over there. And there were, it was a feeder system, and it worked to some extent. I think there should be a development league in some form.
Yeah, well, it goes back to, why did NFL Europe fail? We're playing all these games now over there.
Mm-hmm.
We're playing three, maybe even four games a year NFL-wise over in Europe. Why did it fail?
I don't know if it was, you know, I really don't know if it was because of the expense of it, you know, and keeping players over there. I mean, they lived over there the year round. They lived in dorms or they lived in hotels. I remember Sam telling me about what it was like when he coached over there. It was a very interesting setup. Some franchises over there drew very, very well. Others did not, and I guess it comes down to expense. Don't you think usually that leads to a league going belly up is, you know, it goes down the drain because of expense, and that had a built-in big expense because you were playing over in Europe.
Yeah, I just remember, like, the TV side of thing, watching those games. And
yeah,
the
on
announcers,
Fox, weren't they on Fox?
Yeah. Fox's guys were here calling those games.
Oh, yeah.
They would sit in a room in L.A. or New York.
Sure.
And they would watch the game on TV and call the game that way.
And then they would go over, what was it called, the World Bowl?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and then the World Bowl, they would go over and they would do the game. Let's
exactly.
go to let's go back to the telephones. 216-578-0850 on this Monday. RJ has been patient and is in Texas. Hi, RJ.
Hey, what's up, y'all? Hope y'all having a good day so far.
Oh, man, I got to tell you, when you had me at U-Haul, y'all.
It just comes natural now.
I bet.
But, yeah, I just wanted to talk about what I feel like the Browns' win would look like.
Yeah,
and
go ahead.
Honestly, I'm going to piggyback off of what one of the previous callers said, and I'd be surprised if they get over 25. I just feel like if whether we use two running backs or three running backs, if they get, like, 25 to 30 rushes a game with those guys, and then so that'll take the pressure off of McCown. And Dwayne Bowe probably won't be too pleased to hear this, but if he's just a game manager like Alex Smith, maybe he'll be able to do just enough and get those extra first downs that we would need to solidify the win. And I always shoot for 8-8, and I feel like we could honestly get that, if not more. I mean, our schedule's a little tough with the NFC West, but I mean, that's
yeah,
how I see it.
Yeah, and I think visually, you have to get the game into the fourth quarter. And if you get it into the fourth quarter, then anything can happen, as we saw last year. Sometimes it happened very good for them. Other times, towards the end of the year, games slipped away from them. There was another year, it might have been Rob Chudzinski's only year here, where they blew all those leads late in the game. But they got the game, and most games in the NFL are very tight going into that fourth quarter. Even at the end of the year, Jason, last year, if you go right at the end of the year, okay, not the Cincinnati game, but certainly the Indianapolis game, I mean, very, very tight right at the end of the game. In Carolina, the Browns had taken the lead. Remember when Hoyer came back in, when Manziel went out?
Sure.
And Hoyer hit a pass of about 70-some-odd yards, maybe 80 yards, to Cameron over the middle, and he went down and in for a touchdown. And suddenly, Carolina, who had to win to stay in the hunt for the playoffs, which they eventually made, they're down with about 8 minutes to go in the game. And right at that point, then, Cam Newton got them going. The next week, in Baltimore, with 8 minutes to go in that game, in a game that the Ravens absolutely had to have to make the playoffs, Connor Shaw has the Browns in front in that game. You got to get the game to the fourth quarter, okay, visualize this, and then you have to make a play, whether it's a first down, or you got to get off the field on third down, or you got to have a great punt from a guy like Andy Lee that's going to pin a team in and make them go a country mile to get down in field goal range. But I think that's the way it goes in the NFL.
Why haven't we won a game in December in 2 years? Because we can't finish teams off right in the fourth quarter. We play three quarters, three and a half quarters, almost three and three quarters of a quarter.
Well, the easy thing, Jason, would be to say the defense falters. Now you have to look at the equation.
Yeah.
The other part of the equation is, well, the offense isn't doing enough. They're not staying on the field to get first downs, keep that defense off the field, get them a little fresher in the fourth quarter. Or you're not making that play, that third down play that gets you another first down that's going to burn another minute 40, 2 minutes off the clock. I mean, if that's the way you're going to play, if you're going to play a field position defensive game, then that's what you're going to have to do. So those are some of the things. But it's a combination. It's not just the defense. It's easy to say, oh, the defense folded again. But there's probably a reason. There's a, you know, there's cause and effect.
If you have the offense go seven straight, three and out.
There you go, yeah.
Defense is on the field for a long, long time.
They are.
Field position, someone screws up, a turnover on the offensive side of the football.
Mm-hmm.
We've seen it a lot the last couple of years.
Incidentally, when you think about a win, when you're visualizing a win, and you call in and give us the way it's going to go, and someone said that they thought that they were going to average 18 points a game. Well, you're not going to have any fingernails, everybody, because those are tight games. I mean, if you're only going to average 18 points a game, I mean, those are going to be tight games, and you're going to win them. You're going to win them at the final gun, and you're going to be hitting about a 41-yard field goal, or you're going to be hoping their guy misses a 41-yard field goal. The other someone else, this last caller, RJ, said 25 points a game. 25 points a game, if you play good defense, should get you 8-9 wins on the year.
I would think so.
I think so, yeah. Let's go to Dino the Trucker. Hi, Dino.
Hey, guys. How are we doing today?
Good. How are you?
Fine. Hey, Jimmy, you know, I was talking to Rez earlier, and they were asking that question about Johnny Manziel.
Yes. Can Johnny play, right? Wasn't that the question?
Yeah, can Johnny play? And, you know, I know he did well in Texas,
right,
but I think it got to the kid's head. Because he was majoring in partying other than he was football.
Mm-hmm.
And we all know that.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I wasn't really a big fan of his to begin with, but having said that, you got to be somewhat good to be in that, get in the NFL to begin with. So, I mean, he has to have some kind of physical attributes to back that up, or he wouldn't be in the NFL.
And there's one other thing that you cannot shortchange him on. And that is that there's a little bit, or at least there was in Texas A&M, there's a little bit of magic sometimes when he played. That is that you can't time that in the 40. You can't measure that when he's running through the cones or, you know, doing his footwork drills or throwing through a tire. Okay?
Jimmy, I think we call that heart.
There you go. And you'd have to admit, he definitely had that at Texas A&M. I thought that was one of his leading characteristics, was this ability that some of these guys have, and he definitely had it in college, that when it least looks like he can pull a good play out of a bad play, he would pull a good play. He'd pull a good play out. And that was really the charm of him. Scott Petrak's coming up a little bit later on this hour, and he'll join us, and we'll ask him. Visually, Scott, what does a Browns victory look like during the regular season this year? Jason and I are back here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR after a break.